Thank you for tuning in to the ReLove Podcast. We hope today's message encourages you.
As you can hear, I've had better days. I've been struggling all week long with my voice. Started some significant throat pain on Sunday, and then it's just kind of gone downhill. I pray that it won't be too distracting for you. As you can imagine, we're not going to be too long in the Word. But I want to just kind of share something that God put on my heart to share with you. As Jeremiah mentioned, that this week we have been, last 2 days, we've been at a conference at Mariners Church in Irvine. And at this conference, they were really stressing the importance of mental health and emotional health for ministers and for leaders and for churches. And man, it just fits so, it was so fitting in light of what we've been dealing with at our church over the last couple months. And, you know, we had a Healthy Me Sabbath a few weeks ago. I just really felt compelled, like, man, what the church needs more is health, mental health. And I don't know if you remember, it was sometime last year where there was a pastor from the Inland Empire who committed suicide. I don't know if you remember that. And in fact, there was a couple different times that this happened. And so they actually brought the wife of the pastor, and she came and she spoke to us. There was, I don't know, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people there. And she came and she spoke to us about her journey with her husband and suicide and what the family has been through, and just how we can experience, how she's been able to experience just peace in spite of the pain. And as she was talking to us, I just began to realize that everyone is going through something, right? Anyone in here have any issues, right? Right? We all have issues, all of us. And yet, in spite of our issues, what I'm realizing is that all of us, we desire to thrive in life, right? We want to thrive. We want to live our best lives. We want to flourish. We want to experience all that God has in store for us. And I want that for you. I want that for myself. I want that for my family. We want to experience all that God has in store. And yet, the reality is that there is an enemy out there who is constantly attacking and assailing us. Amen. And he's always trying to pull us down and bring us down. In fact, it's so interesting because in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, it's crazy how God steps down and he finds them in this predicament. And he's like, Eve, where are you? Adam, where are you? And they said, well, we hid ourselves because we were naked. And God says, well, who told you that you were naked, Adam? And he says, well, you know, the serpent and with the tree, we ate of it. And they go through this whole thing. And then God says something very interesting. He says to the man, he's like, all of your days, you will have to work. You will toil the soil and you will have to work from the sweat of your brow to produce harvest. And when he said that, it really is mind-blowing what exactly happened. It's almost as if God cursed the ground as a result of Adam's sin. And because of this curse, there is this thing now that we experience called weeds. You all know what weeds are? Yeah. Anybody ever have a run-in with some weeds? When I was growing up, I shared this with you all before. My mother, she had I say my mother because it wasn't mine. I refused to claim it. At our house, she had this rock garden. It was a garden that was built into a side of a hill. And the only way to prevent the flowers and the plants from running down is you had to put rocks. And so there were rocks on the side of this hill, and there were flowers and plants and all types of shrubbery in this. And every summer, she would make us go out there, and she would make us pick weeds out of this rock garden. And I hated with a passion picking these weeds out of the rock garden, because they weren't just those weeds that when you picked it, it came up nice. But you had to dig down deep and remove the rocks. And it was a major chore for my sisters and I. And we complained the entire time, and my mom would say, well, just give me 10 good weeds. If you just give me 10 good weeds, then you can leave. And so we would go and we would just find 10 good weeds and we would pull them out. And yet it what she taught us is that if you just pull the weed up by the tip of it, guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna grow right back. And it'll grow back faster and stronger than what it was before. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, we would be out there picking these same weeds again.
And it was frustrating and it was annoying, and my hands were tired. I was tired. I mean, I really wasn't tired. I was 10 years old, so I didn't know any different. But it was just one of those experiences where I began to learn and realize that these weeds that we experience in life, that this is a result of this thing called the curse. And yeah, there are weeds out there in the garden that we experience, but there are also weeds in our life. All of us have weeds, things that if you leave it unattended, guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna go down. Your health potentially is affected by weeds. What do I mean? If you don't work out, if you don't eat right, guess what's gonna happen? Yeah, you won't just stay in perfect health, right? Your finances, Bank of America and Chase, there are weeds growing in your bank account. And if you don't tend to your bank account, they will come up and they will start taking away funds and you won't know what happened to your money. It'll just be gone, right? In our relationships, in our marriages, there are these things called weeds. And weeds are those things that if you don't are intentional about pouring in and developing your marriage and your relationship, that stuff will happen and things will come up. And before you know it, you all will be sleeping in different beds, in different rooms because of these things called weeds. Weeds just naturally grow. You don't have to plant them. You don't have to look out for them. You don't have to water them. They just show up on their own. Same thing happens in school. If you don't study, if you don't stay and stop your schoolwork, weeds will grow up and you'll be repeating that class. Amen, somebody, right? You'll be repeating that class. Like, it happens in every area of our life. There are these things called weeds, and weeds are the result of a curse. The curse that God placed on Adam as a result of his sin. And we spend the majority of our life plucking these weeds out of our finances, out of our marriage, out of our children, out of our relationships, out of our diet, out of our health, out of our every area of our life. And yet, as I'm wrestling with it, I'm saying to myself this week, as I'm listening to them talking and I'm just kind of praying about what God would have me say to you all today, and I'm thinking about it, and it's like, God, but why? How is it that the people of God, how do we flourish if we have been planted in a garden as a result of the sin that constantly is sprouting up weeds, weeds that are sucking our time, they're sucking our resources, weeds sap the energy out of us. How is it that the people of God are to flourish? And as I was studying the Word of God this week, I came across a passage in Psalms 92 that I want to share with you, and then I'll get out of your way. In Psalms 92, Psalms 92, I want to share this passage with you. The Bible says in Psalms 92, and I think this is verse 12, right? Psalms 92, verse 12. This is what the Word of the Lord says. It says, the righteous will what? Will flourish like a what? A palm tree, and they will do what? They will grow like a cedar of what? They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. So he's saying, like, listen, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And then Kevin Peel, he says something very interesting, which to me is like the antidote. He says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will what? They will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I just want to stop right there, because it's almost like the psalmist is saying that when you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in their what? Old age. They will stay fresh and green. Doesn't matter how old you are, the psalmist promises us that if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. And so here the psalmist gives us a picture. And as I was reading this text this week, I said, man, I really just want to illustrate this so that everyone can really see what he's talking about. Like, so I went to Home Depot and I picked up this little $4.98 plant. And so you all may have this in your house as well. We have a few in our house. And when I look at this, if you can go back to that text for me, I actually hear the psalmist saying to us is that when you are planted in the house of the Lord, when you lay your roots down in the Word of God and around the people of God and around the cause of God, when you seek first the kingdom of God, and you give God your attention and your time and your energy, when you make an intentional effort to plant yourself in the house of the Lord, When you say, listen, I know there's a lot of craziness going on out there, and there's probably some craziness going on in the church, and there is no perfect church. We understand that because we're here, right? So there is no perfect church. But when you make your mind up to say, to be planted, go back to verse 13 and 14 for me, to be planted in the house of the Lord, what the Bible promises us is that when you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. And so as I was reading this passage, friends of mine, they ask me this question from time to time. They say, Seth, if you weren't a pastor, would you go to church? It's a good question, actually. I said, if you weren't a pastor, would you go to church? And there's a part of me that says, well, I'd probably take like 6 months off, maybe a year, 6 months off and just chill. But of course I would be a part of a church. Of course I would go to church. And as I was thinking about this, I said, and this is the reason why I would go to church. This is the reason why I would be planted in the house of the Lord, because I recognize that I have to put my roots down somewhere. And the reality is that there are weeds constantly springing up all over this world. And the devil is constantly trying to spring weeds up in my own life. And so I have to make a cognitive choice to be planted in the house of the Lord. Listen, I'm coming to church and I'm going to be on time. And I'm going to lift my hands in worship. If you all missed the praise and worship this morning, you missed something sweet. That what we do on Sabbath and at church isn't just about the word, but there's something when the man of God comes and he leads us in praise and worship, and then we come behind and we go into the word. Like, there's something about singing songs together. Yeah, you can sing songs. You know, you can put in your CD and you can rock Hillsong or Fred Hammond on your way to church. But that doesn't compare to when you come into the house of God and the sanctuary is filled with the voices of the people as we cry out to God. This last week, I had the opportunity to go to, I was in Florida this last Sabbath in Gainesville, Florida, and there was a purity conference. It was a conference that was designed for young people from the ages of 10 to 18, and there were about 400, 500 plus kids in Gainesville at this campground, Camp Kalakwa. And they were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they were there just for the purpose of to learn about sexual purity and how they can abstain from pornography and masturbation and all of those things that we find ourselves getting caught up in, and how the devil is constantly trying to get us to compromise our sexuality and our sexuality. So we're there, and I'm there talking, and had the opportunity to preach to them on Friday night and Saturday and do a few workshops, and 400 kids as they're in this sanctuary, in the lodge, the King's Lodge is what they call this building, and they're lifting their voices and they're singing out and they're singing praises to God in one of the most beautiful sounds that I couldn't reproduce if I was in the car. And when the band stopped playing and the kids just lifted their voices and sang out to Hosanna, it was almost like heaven just stood still and you could feel the presence of God in that place. And it's no different when we come into the house of God and we say, you know what? I'm going to be planted in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to be one of those Christians that, yeah, I'm maybe two a month Christian or one a month type of, yeah, you know, I have other things or other responsibilities. Like no, I'm going to make a commitment within myself that every time the house of the Lord is open, I'm going to make sure that my roots like go deep down into the house of God. I'm going to be there for praise and worship. And I'm going to be there for the word of God, because there's something when the people of God get together that's it nourishes our soul. And what the psalmist is telling us is that when you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of your God. Now, I know we're busy and we have responsibilities and things come up. But if you go to someone who struggles with alcohol, you would tell them that going to an AA meeting is not an option. It's not an option. I don't care what comes up on your schedule. You need to be at that AA meeting because your health and your life depend upon it. And if you have someone who struggles with drugs, you would tell them getting to rehab is not an option. You have to be there. You have to be there. Why? Because your life depends on it. And if you're battling weeds in your life, in your finances, in your health, in your emotions, if you feel like your energy is being sapped by the curse, the weeds, then being at church is not an option. That you must say, I have to surround myself with the people of God, because this is where God has called me and where I will grow. It's almost like what I hear the Revelator, John the Revelator, say in Revelation chapter, I think it's chapter 3, where he's talking about Laodicea. And in Revelation chapter 3, he says, this is, you know, Jesus talking, and he's like, listen, the church of Laodicea, he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. He says, but I wish you were either one or the other. He says, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to do what? I'm about to switch you out of mouth. He's like, because you're kind of sometimey, like sometimes you're here, sometimes you're not here. Sometimes you're committed, sometimes you're not committed. Like, he's like, because you're all over the place. He's like, it's of no value to me. But she says, if you take seriously your walk with the Lord, that every day you make a commitment, I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. That every single day you make a commitment, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter how much stress, how much frustration, no matter how much discouragement is coming around, I'm going to spend some time with my God. And when the weekend comes around, I don't care whose baby shower or what birthday party is going on, I'll catch them after worship, because there's nothing more important than me being in the house of the Lord and spending time worshiping him with his people, because I want to be planted in the house of the Lord. You know, I couldn't just bring one that was planted, but I had to bring another one that was not planted. And when you look at the two, like, just on the surface, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of difference. But give it a week. And what's going to happen to this? It'll grow limp. It'll start hanging over. It won't have the vitality. It won't have the energy. It won't have the strength. The flowers won't bloom. It won't be able to endure the heat and the anxiety and the stress of the elements around it. And my fear is that there's too many of us at ReLove and too many Christians who were content with just a limp Christian experience. Where, you know, I got some things going for me, and, you know, there's a little soil in there, there's a little soil around, but you're not really planted so that when adversity comes and hell comes, you find yourself filled with anxiety and stress and overwhelmed. And that doesn't mean that if you're planted in the house of the Lord and you spend time every day with God, that somehow your life will be perfect. No, because the Bible tells us that there's two men built a house, one on sand and one on a rock. And guess what? Storms came and beat upon both houses. So no matter where you are, whether you're planted in the house of the Lord or whether you're just laying there on the side, the reality is that life and weeds are going to happen. Stuff will hit the fan. It's another word I wanted to say, but we in church. Life will get the best of you. But those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. I love how Jeremiah says it. I want to read this to you, how Jeremiah says it. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed, what word did he use? Cursed is the one who trusts in men, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose hearts turn away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But then he goes on to say, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. He's like, when your life is planted and you trust in the Lord, he's like, listen, he says, in a year of drought, drought will still come and you will still experience trial. So this is no guarantee that you won't go through stuff. In fact, just turn to the person next to you and say, you still gonna go through some stuff. Life will still happen to you. You'll still go through stuff. But he says, but because you are planted, he says, your leaves will always be green. You will not worry in years of drought, and you will never fail to bear fruit. And this is what I want for the people of God. I want each and every one of us to live our best life in Christ. That's what I believe discipleship is really all about. The discipleship is not you having this awesome Bible knowledge and you can break down every Bible text like in the Word of God. I mean, that may be a part of it, but as you grow in Christ and you become a disciple in Christ, discipleship means that you are actually living your best life in Christ. That you're bearing fruit, and the fruit that you're bearing is not for your enjoyment, but the fruit that you're bearing is to be a blessing to other people. And so other people come and they sit under your leaves and under your tree and they eat from your fruit and they are refreshed by your presence. Because even in the year of drought, you still bear fruit. And people will call you blessed. This is my burden for you. This is my burden for us as a church. That we make up our minds, that we say, I am going to be planted in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to make sure that I spend time with God every single day in his presence. And every time I have a chance to enter into the house of God, though something may come up after and there may be some other obligations, I'll meet you after I come from worship. Because there is nothing more important than me getting in the presence of God. Why? Because I got some weeds in my life that only the Spirit of God can handle. And so I'm going to be planted. You can come and play softly for me. I want to share one more text with you. It's in Psalms in chapter 1. Psalms in chapter 1. And I love this text. And you probably know it. He says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But look what he says. He says, but whose delight is in what? The law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. And then this is what he says. This is what he says about that person. That person who delights in the Lord, that person who meditates on the word of the Lord, that person who focuses on the plans of God. He says, this person is like a tree planted. Where are they planted? Planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do, they prosper. Whatever they do, they prosper. Whatever they do, they prosper. Prospering isn't just about making six figures, or making a lot of money, or having a beautiful family. So prospering is your life is actually a blessing to those around you. You are a life giver, and people are nourished and strengthened because of you. It's not about you and your abilities and what you get and what you get out of it. But he's like, no, prospering is about being able to feed and clothe and to give to other people, even in a season of drought. And so he says, that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do, they prosper. They're planted. They're planted in the house of the Lord. And because they're planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of their God. I don't know where you are in your own personal relationship with God, but I would invite you to make a commitment to yourself that you will be planted in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to be planted in my job. I'm not going to be planted in the world. I'm not going to be planted with my friends. I will be planted in the house of the Lord. And I will not be shaken. And my family will be better because of it. My children will be better because of it. My community will be better because I made a decision to be planted in the house of the Lord. The planted isn't just, okay, I'm going to come to church every week. No, planted is, I'm going to make sure that all of the roots of my life are driven deep down into the Word of God. And that the Word of God becomes a foundation for my hope, for my faith, for my joy. And that in Christ, I have this ability then to trust Him in the times of when all hell breaks loose and when I'm assailed by anxiety and fear and frustration and life isn't working out. Because I'm rooted in the house of the Lord, I will flourish in the courts of our God. Is that your commitment with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, our prayer is that we would be indeed planted in the house of our Lord, the place where the people of God gather. The house of the Lord, I know, is not a building. It's where the people of God gather. We assemble together. And as we assemble together, we encourage one another. We strengthen one another. And it's in that community where we will flourish in the courts of our God. Father, my prayers for your people. There are some here who they feel like they are being choked out by the weeds of life. Weeds have come up in their marriage. There's arguing and disagreements, and the love seems to have dried up. They're going through the motions. They're just tolerating each other. They're not enjoying each other. Father, I pray that that marriage would be planted in the house of the Lord. That you would step into their home and begin to pluck out the weeds. And that you would allow them to thrive and to flourish again. That you might create a spirit of humility in our hearts towards one another. That the husbands would confess their faults to the wives, and the wives would confess their faults to the husbands, and that there would be sincere repentance and forgiveness. That we wouldn't hold grudges, but that we would let it roll off our back, and that couples will be able to move together in wholeness and in happiness. Father, I pray for individuals who are experiencing weeds in their emotional life. There's stress, there's anxiety, there's frustration. Father, I pray that you would just step in and that you would begin to uproot the weeds from our emotional life, the fear, the insecurity. I'm learning that insecurity doesn't really ever go away. But may we minimize its effects on us. And may we be able to say that this insecurity, it will not lord itself over me. But may we find our identity in Christ and in what you say we are. Father, there are some who have experiencing weeds in their physical health, challenged physically, their health is compromised. Lord, I pray that you would in their life step in and begin to pluck up the weeds of sickness and infirmity in the same way that you brought healing to the people of God as you walked through the Jerusalem and Judea, and as you walked through Samaria and you brought healing to all of those, God, I pray that your that healing hand would rest upon the people of God. And that we would not allow the fear of what will be or what can be prevent us from trusting you with where we are, believing that you are able to bring healing and restoration to our physical bodies. Father, I pray for our young people, our singles, young adults, who some have allowed the weeds of distractions and chasing after the things of this world to come into their life. More concerned with the money that's in our bank account or the clothes that are on our back. Less concerned about our character and where you're taking us and what you're doing in us. Father, I pray that we would beat back those weeds and that you would come and you just pull them up from our lives. And that as young people, that we would just become sold out for you. As young adults and singles, that we would make a commitment to be planted in the house of the Lord. That during the times of drought, we would not worry, we would not be anxious, but we would still flourish in Christ. Father, I pray for our seniors in the house of the Lord today, who may feel like their best years are behind them. But Lord, where there is life, there is hope. And if there is breath in their lungs, then may they too experience all that you have in store for them. Father, I don't want to settle for anything other than what you destined us to experience. And so in this church, may we be a church that lives our best life. Not a perfect life that where we don't make any mistakes, but our best life where we're trusting in you and we're walking with you and we're growing in you and you are just having your way. May we be more concerned about giving than receiving. May this week we look to bless those around us, and even those who we don't get along with and those that get on our nerves, God, may we just be a blessing to them. That you might turn our hearts that have grown hard towards them and just soften those hearts, oh God. And that you would allow your transformative power to rest on our lives. Father, there's a group in this church who are walking towards financial peace, getting control over their finances. Lord, my prayer is that you would just empower them to continue to make wise financial choices and that they would live their best financial life. And God, that we would all be planted in the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord, there we will flourish in the courts of our God. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name.